Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. It is 16th May, 2023, 9:04 on the clock. At your host, James J. behind the mic, I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks for joining us. Good stuff coming up for you. Got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day around the corner. We got time. We may even get into some random facts. We haven't done that in a while. Mm-hmm. We'll do that, maybe. We'll see. Right now, entertainment time, and we jump into things where Reba McEntire's got a new gig.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Reba is going to be serving as a mentor on the current season of The Voice.
Oh.
And they like her because she's getting a promotion. Reba will take Blake Shelton's chair on the upcoming 24th season this fall.
Hmm.
As you've probably heard, Blake is leaving after this season. He has been around since the show's launch back in 2011. The three other coaches next season will be Gwen Stefani, John Legend, and Niall Horan.
Hmm.
Reba McEntire will fit right in with that.
She's a nurturing type of person, it seems to me.
Yeah.
So that would be a good fit for her to be a mentor on that show.
I don't know much about that or any of these singing competition shows. I know that Hoozle's Rise to Music knocks them all out the park. Other than that, I don't know that much about them. But I know that they usually have the angry judge or the meaner judge or the hard judge. And they do the good cop, bad cop thing.
Yeah.
You know? So she's always seemed like a good cop to me. So I agree with you. I think that she seems like the nurturing type and everything. As much as I don't watch those shows, I am all in favor of any artist getting a break.
Mm. Every once in a while, I like to watch like clips off YouTube, mm-hmm. but I never watch what the judges say before or after. Yeah. I just want to watch the performance. I don't really care what the judges say.
I honestly think I could have gotten. There was a moment in time where I could have really gotten into those shows. If it wasn't for the judges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so with you on
That's
this.
That's why I like watching them on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can skip the parts you don't want to see.
Right.
And then you can see them from all over the world, too, because, you know, they do these in all countries.
Yeah. That's very true. Very true. As long as we're talking about, country greats and legends of country and everything, I want to touch on this, too. Dolly Parton's rock song, World on Fire, calls out greedy politicians. The Today's Jacob Saboroff asked what politicians she was talking about, and Dolly had a response.
What politicians are you talking about?
All of them. Any of them. I don't think any of them are trying hard enough. I'm sure we're all trying, but I just really think that I think often that they worry more about the party than they do about the people. If we just do what we felt was the right thing rather than who's going to lose or who's going to win this or who's going to look better if they do this rather than working from the heart.
Well said.
Yeah. Tell them, Dolly.
Yep. Well said.
Look from the heart.
Mm-hmm. It's not that complicated. It's Mm-mm. pretty simple. And work from the heart is going to be Dolly Parton's campaign theme. Come on, Dolly. Come on.
We need you to run.
Run for it. No RRD in front of your name. Just run.
Just Dolly.
You don't even have to tell us what you're running on, what platform you're running on or anything like that.
Oh, but she would. That's the difference.
Yes, she would.
That's the difference between her and a lot of the politicians that we're dealing with now. They're not telling us what they're running on. They're telling us what they're not running on.
Yeah. It's the lamest and lowest hanging fruit in politics. I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm going to talk about
what
opponent.
Makes you angry
so
that you vote for me.
Yeah. I maintain that the perfect candidates are Dolly Parton and Tom Hanks, but not Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks acting as a president.
It's the people who don't want to lead that should be leaders.
Yeah, it tends to be that way. I also maintained, I think George Carlin would have been an amazing politician. He just was way too smart for it. He's like, I'm not getting in that. I'm not getting in that ring. But we joke, we say these things, but we have generations watching and paying attention.
Well, and that's the problem.
And a lot of little kids. And who's going to wind up to do these jobs if all we do in society is make fun of them or talk trash? And that includes me, too. That includes me
but
on this, too.
Is that why we're at where we're at now, where we have these politicians in office who lied to get there, who were bought and paid for by corporations and people and groups that have an agenda, and you're just the front man for it?
I don't think it's, and this is maybe the only time I've ever done this in my life. I do nitpick with one thing she said and one thing I do as well that she did, and I do the same thing, lumping all politicians together. That's dangerous to do with anything in society.
It is.
I ask people to not do that with ethnic people all the time. I can't ask them to do it with them, not this and that, then say it's okay to do it with this.
It's a generalization that just hurts the whole organization.
And again, it's part of the reason we're in the problem we are, because I agree with you. I do think that part of the reason why we have so many people in politics that are just in it for themselves, want their 15 seconds of fame, et cetera, is because we've had generations growing up seeing a lot of negative politicians, but even good politicians being torn to shreds by not necessarily doing something wrong, but by maybe going up against somebody who was more charismatic or had
more backing.
Yes,
or
yeah. Because there's people out there, especially certain politicians out there, they don't care about you. They care about you voting for them, and that's it. They'll say anything to get you to vote for them. They'll say whatever they think that particular room they're in is going to. These politicians are the rock star. What up, Milwaukee? Milwaukee's the greatest city in the world.
I love you guys.
I'm in Chicago. What up, Chicago? Chicago's the greatest city in the world. Like we understand musicians do that. We get that. We don't make a big deal out of it. But we can't have politicians doing that. We can't have that. And that's what you've got. And people are just eating it up, just being sheep and just eating it up and everything. Like, you got to think. Got to think a little bit.
We should really refer to, rock stars. People that actually are rock stars.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that's another term that gets thrown around a lot that has been appropriated by people and groups that it shouldn't be. And I'm guilty of it, too. I call people rock stars. But it's a similar problem that we have with misusing words. And again, with, like you said, politicians just saying what people want to hear.
I don't know what to do with this story. Martha Stewart is in Sports Illustrated Swimsuits Edition.
Good for her.
Yeah, it is really good. This one, so the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit issue has several covers this year, and one of them features 81-year-old Martha Stewart. She's wearing a one-piece bathing suit with several plunging neckline and everything. She looks great. Let me see here. If we can pull this up. Yeah, Melissa.
No way. 81?
That's Martha Stewart at 81.
Oh, yeah, my. Yeah.
She looks magnificent.
She does.
She looks way better than I ever have. One day, not a day in my life have I ever looked that good.
I haven't either.
Martha did a little prep for the shoot. She says, quote, "I didn't starve myself, but I didn't eat any bread or pasta for a couple of months. I went to Pilates every other day. I live a clean life anyway. Good diet and good exercise and healthy skincare can do all that stuff, but it was kind of fun." She added, quote, "To be on the cover at my age was a challenge, and I think I met the challenge." Martha is one of four cover models this year. The others are Megan Fox, model Brooks and Nader, and Kim Petras. And good on them for all that. Mm.
I appreciate that society seems to be taking a more positive view of women past the age of 25.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Because women are beautiful their whole lives.
Yeah. There's no age range where I'm going to say that different or anything. Yeah.
Well, I got into this argument with my brother recently because I made some comment about dyeing my hair and I was being a little snarky, and I said, well, I can't game with you guys tonight because society says I can't have gray hair, so I got to wash the color out of my hair. And he responded with do they, or is that just something women do to trap men?
Wow.
And
oh
so
my
that
God.
Sparked off a whole conversation.
Whoa.
That took a turn.
And
we resolved it well because we were just both being catty with each other for a little bit there, siblings do that. But my response was, oh, really? What visual industry do women have it easier than men?
Yeah. Yeah.
Please tell me.
Yeah. Like, I didn't even have anything as a joke to say. Like,
Because as men age, we just talked about Pierce Bronson and Sean Connery. Mm-hmm. They become more attractive. And that has been a societal norm forever. Not so with women in modern society.
I agree with you. It's a societal wrong that we have to correct. It's also one that I'm counting on. I'm counting on looking better as I get older. I better get a better looking. I need that. I really, really need that. My acting career needs that. And I could not agree with you more, Melissa. It is something that we need to correct.
So I applaud Martha Stewart for doing that and for getting out there, and for Swimsuit Illustrated for also doing that as well. They deserve a little bit of credit for that.
I think that they're trying to correct some stuff of the past. Mm-hmm. Sports SI. Well, first and foremost, they're trying to get people to buy magazines,
right?
Which is a uphill battle as it is. Mm-hmm. But along with that, they have realized, hey, we've got to open things up a little bit, just like Bud Light did with their cans, just like Hummer did when they started having electric Hummers. Like, get over yourselves. This is not going to ruin culture. We're not going to change kids or anything like that. Have some belief in the human beings and your own children and your own people in your life and everything like that. Like, how little do you think of others that you think that a beer can could change them? Or, the fact that we're promoting women being, older women and stuff in magazines.
Being beautiful,
that's going to hurt society in some way or anything. Miss me with that. Like, we got bigger fish to fry, man. We got way bigger. You know what's a bigger problem in society? Not having universal health care or mm-hmm. having child care available. More and all these other things.
Or
we got
hunger.
PFAS, for God's sake, or hunger, or anything. We got a lot on our plate. Mm-hmm. Just quit looking for stuff to add on to it. We got enough on our plate. Bringing back another set of shows are being brought back, which happens a lot more common now than it's ever been. Showtime is bringing back two of its best shows, Nurse Jackie and Weeds, and they're bringing back the original stars. The great, the legend, the wonderful Edie Falco is returning as Jackie Payton, and the wonderful Mary Louise Parker will once again play Nancy Botwin. Both ladies will also executive produce their respective shows.
Oh, nice.
That means that they will be in on the casting sessions, mm-hmm. they will be in on the writing sessions and everything. There's no word on the plot of the Nurse Jackie sequel, but the Weeds revival features Nancy living in Copenhagen, Denmark.
Really?
That's kind of interesting, yeah. So there's no word on any other casting of the shows either. There is some original actors that aren't around anymore, like Kevin Nealon, I don't believe is with us anymore with Weeds and shows like that.
I just had to look. 8 seasons for that show.
Really? I didn't know it was that long.
Yeah.
Huh.
It started in 2005, it looks like.
Okay. And, I wanted to double check something.
Yeah, it ran 2005 to 2012.
Yeah, and I was
interesting
mixing
that
up
they're
my
bringing
actors.
It back a decade later.
Mm. I think I was mixing up my actors. Kevin Nealon is still alive and well. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I apologize. I like Kevin Nealon. I did not mean to do that. There was
sorry,
another
Kevin.
Actor I was thinking of. Yeah, but please feel free to join our show and show everybody that you're. There was the long running bit on Conan O'Brien's show, where Abe Vigoda would show up every once in a while. Abe Vigoda famously played Fish on the Barney Miller show and all this, and for years. He would show up on Conan's show and people would immediately message him and be like, I thought he died. I didn't know he was still. So then the bit became Abe would just show up and say, I'm still alive, everybody. And like, go away. He'd just show up for like 5 seconds and do that. Like, this is the story that I really wanted to get to start off our show, Melissa.
Mm.
And I think you'll be with me on this one.
Okay.
The great Christopher Lloyd is up for a fourth Back to the Future movie.
Really?
Yeah. He says, quote, I would love to do a sequel. If somebody has a brilliant idea that would justify a fourth film, it might happen.
Wow.
He also thinks Michael J. Fox could do it, too. Quote, there was a certain ease between us. I didn't have to struggle to get there with Michael. There was never any conflict. It just fit. It's never stopped. We still have the same chemistry we did that first day on set.
Wow.
And if you see them together, and recently we have gotten to see them do some promotions about Parkinson's and everything, they look like they could not only do it, like not one film, but like multiple films together. Like, first off, I just saw Christopher Lloyd in an episode of The Mandalorian. He killed it. He was amazing. The man still has just as much talent as he's ever had.
And he's 84.
And Michael J. Fox is way too talented. The only thing holding him back is if he is comfortable doing it.
Right.
Obviously, the Parkinson's is an issue, but I don't think he would say that's holding him back. I would think he would say that it prevents him from being able to perform the characters like he wants to, like he believes he should as an actor. But if you work it into the character, say, the Marty McFly gets Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And you create it into the character. Mm-hmm. I think you could have a great one there. And look, what do they just get done telling you? What do we love? What do these companies love more than anything right now? Nostalgia. The run of nostalgia. We're bringing back Nurse Jackie. We're bringing back Weeds. Mm-hmm. There's going to be 3 or 4 more shows that are going to be brought back and everything. Why not this? Mm-hmm. You know, why not?
Well, Back to the Future was such an icon. You know, it's so well loved by all of us who love it.
Yeah.
And I think if they did a fourth one, it would be great.
And I think if you go into it not expecting it to be as great as the others, just go into it and being happy there's a fourth movie, then you can't go wrong. I have done this for years with The Simpsons. The Simpsons, I never dreamed that nobody dreamed The Simpsons would be on this long. Mm. I watch a new episode. It's not that good. Well, at least I got a new episode. I'm just happy to have new content. I don't even care sometimes if it's a great or a bad episode. It's new stuff. Like, I feel the same way about, I don't as much now, but I did for a long time about Star Wars. Mm. Like, Seth and I joke about it all the time. We spent our whole lives as kids waiting for new content of Star Wars. Now, every week, there's a new Star Wars thing. It's gotten a bit much, maybe, in some ways, but I'll be darned if I'm going to complain about it, because I waited my whole life for that stuff. I watch Back to the Future 4. I come out of the movie theater, and it's not that good. I'm not going to complain. Like, yeah. I'm happy to see these actors playing these characters again and everything. Not everything has to be The Godfather. Not everything has to be the biggest box office success of all time.
If it's better than 2, we're good.
This is your second time. You were not a fan of 2, huh? You were not.
No.
I don't think many people were. I don't think a lot of people were.
But you almost have to have that in a trilogy.
Yes.
You know, there's always going to be the worst one.
Yep.
And that one was dark.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was far darker than the other 2.
Yeah. I think that, you know how they filmed those last 2, right? You've heard about that?
Mm-mm.
Michael J. Fox was such a big star. There was no way he could guarantee that he could do a third film. So Spielberg worked the schedule out, got all this crew together, this massive important crew together, and filmed the movies back to back. Filmed 2 and 3 back to back.
Wow.
Just because they could keep Michael J. Fox under contract to get it in the schedule and everything. So I think there's times where you're watching that movie and you see some exhaustion in the actors, and it's at different parts in 2 and 3, you can see it, but it's understandable.
Well, yeah, when you look at it like that, yeah. I just meant that the storyline is so dark that's probably why I didn't like it as much.
I think,
it's the future you don't want to see.
I think Godfather 3 is like that for a lot of people. Mm. Like, that where, and not just because of the darkness, but because it just wasn't, you know, if there's a trilogy, there's always one of those trilogies people don't like. You're right about that. We will take a break right here. We'll come back with some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there. Melissa and James behind the mics, here to entertain you, give you a good show right up to the top of the hour. We haven't gotten to do this in a while, Melissa. Let's go ahead and have some fun with some wacky random facts.
All right.
Just throw some of these around. You can use them in parties and random conversations to just surprise people or be like, why did you bring that up? It had nothing to do with the conversation.
Or it'll help you when you're a phone a friend.
Yeah, that too, yeah. Ginkgo. I never say it right. Like Ginkgo Bilbo. Oh, like
Ginkgo Biloba?
Ginkgo Biloba. Thank you. I never say it right.
That's okay.
Ginkgo is the oldest surviving tree species.
Ah.
Having remained on the planet for 200 million years.
Wow.
Even before dinosaurs. Melissa and I are at a tree, chain where we share tree information and stuff like that. I couldn't help myself. I thought that was too cool.
No, that is cool. Trees are cool.
The NBA All-Star Game this year had a final score of 184 to 175. Hmm. The last time a team scored under 100 points in the All-Star Game was in 1973.
Wow.
Back when they played defense.
Yeah.
And the first 2 Super Bowls weren't officially called the Super Bowl. Their official name was the AFL-NFL World Championship game, but fans called the game the Super Bowl, so by the third one, the name became official.
Well, that's much less of a mouthful.
It really is, and I think that's a little common among sports fans, but I think it gets a little normalized that fans named the Super Bowl, not some group of, you know, people in a room sitting there thinking, what's the best, what should we call it, what yeah. should we do?
Or you think people don't have power? There's the power of people right there. They named the Super Bowl.
Come on.
Which is one of the biggest, like, isn't it the biggest moneymaker on TV?
On the planet.
Yeah.
There's nothing as big as the Super Bowl. Maybe the World Cup.
The World Cup probably outpaces it because it's worldwide.
Ratings wise, there's nothing that beats the Super Bowl. Nothing. Like, it's not even close. Heck, NFL games in general usually beat anything in the standings and all that. Mm. In most Spanish-speaking countries and Greece, Friday the 13th isn't considered an unlucky day. Tuesday the 13th is.
Ooh.
In Italy, Friday the 17th is the unlucky day.
Interesting.
Yeah. The movie Frozen is based on Hans Christian Andersen's story, The Snow Queen. I think a lot of people might know that, but I don't know how many people realize Disney had been trying to adapt it into a movie since the 1930s.
Oh, I think I remember this one. Mm. The 1930s.
Yeah.
Finally got it.
It was actually one of Walt's, like, I wouldn't say dreams, but like passion projects. Like one of those things that he was really trying to get done.
Is that where they came up with the song, Let It Go?
Yeah.
We've been working on this so long.
Yes, that's
we
where
just
it came
need
from.
To get it out.
Now you know the inspiration of Let It Go. Now you know the inspiration. No, I have no idea. I love that, though. Well done by you. Nicely done by you. Let's see here. Honeybees pollinate about one-third of America's crops.
They're very important.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly. We've talked quite a bit about that. But
yeah, and that's why we have the No Mow May going on, too, to help our natural pollinators during this time of year when there's not as much available for them to eat.
Yeah, think about that, everybody. Yeah. There are more than $2 bills in circulation right now than $100 bills.
Actually in circulation, meaning like tucked away in people's hope chests and jewelry boxes.
My Aunt Florence, every birthday, not every birthday, but most of my birthdays growing up would send me a $2 bill.
Yep, never I always got it. One,
never
too. That and the silver dollars. Mm, I have several of those, too.
IKEA does about $1.8 billion in food sales every year.
Really?
With about 650 million people eating at their stores.
I didn't know they sold food.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know plenty of people. I shouldn't say plenty. I know a lot of people over my lifetime that if they work near an IKEA, that's where they go for lunch. They don't even go there to shop. They just go there for lunch. They have, like, these Swedish meatballs that people will, like, rave about.
Do they have, like, a deli bar or something?
Sort of, yeah. I've only eaten there once, but it wasn't bad food at all. It was a little surprising to me. It's a little like... like Sam's Club, like some of those places.
Okay.
Like the food at those places is not bad usually.
I was, because I know Costco does that, and you can get a very
cheap. Another one. Yeah.
Cheap, yeah, they're like little lunch counter or whatever. Yeah. But I never knew. But Costco also sells food. Does IKEA sell food?
I don't know if they sell food.
I thought they just sold like furniture you have to build yourself.
Very difficult furniture, yes.
Right.
Yes. No, I'm not sure if it's difficult. But yeah, they do it. This is like a cafeteria almost at the IKEA I was at least.
Interesting.
Let's see. I like this one. Paul McCartney wouldn't let Weird Al Yankovic do a parody of Live and Let Die because he wanted to call it Chicken Pot Pie. Dun, 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 dun. Chicken pot pie. Dum, 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 dum. Paul didn't want this because he didn't want to promote eating meat. He is a famous vegetarian. Him and Linda were.
I did not know that.
They are actually in a very famous episode of The Simpsons where Lisa becomes a vegetarian and Paul and Linda show up and teach that Hawapu and many India people from India are vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the few times where they kept something. More times than not in cartoons, Homer, you know, gets a broken arm and by the next episode it's healed, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but Lisa maintained.
Yep. To this very day, Lisa is still a vegetarian.
Huh.
And finally, I really like this one, and it ties into another cool random fact. I think I just pulled Kiribati is the only country in the world that's in all four hemispheres.
Whoa.
It's made up of islands in the Pacific Ocean that are on both sides of the two lines that divide the world into hemispheres.
Hmm.
The International Dateline and the Equator.
Wow.
I think that's pretty darn cool.
That is cool. I want to go there.
Now, that reminded me, and I think a lot of people might have had this spur up in their head too, about Four Corners here in America.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Four Corners Monument, making the only spot in the United States where four states, Arizona, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico, come together. I think that's one of those places I got to visit. I want to check that out someday. Just to be there, just to, you know, I don't think you're going to stand on that spot and be like, feel any different. But it seems like it'd be kind of cool to be able to say you did it.
You feel a little like, this is cool. And we need to remember this moment.
I think so. I think that'd be kind of cool.
It's probably much more enlightening than the Four Corners here in our state.
Yeah, yeah. I could see that. I could see that. I just think that there'd be something fun about doing that in like that. I don't know, being able to say that you did it. Like,
yeah.
As I'm saying this out loud, I don't know if it's as cool as I thought it was in my head, but
I think it would be. If you took a trip out there and you were there in that moment, I mean, it's like seeing anything that's just monumental, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, the redwoods, yes, where four states come together is not all that monumental to see, but the history behind it and, you know, the people that came before, that traveled there, that lived there before the people that traveled there, that, you know, it's just history.
Yeah.
It's our history.
It's our history. Darn right. Let's get a couple more in real quick. Penicillin, which was discovered in 1928, would have vanquished the pneumonia that killed millions of people during the 1918 influenza pandemic.
Mm.
That's a shame. Wow. Yeah. 10 years later. Wow. People in the late 1800s used to rip pages out of the Sears Roebuck catalog and use it as toilet paper.
Yes.
They didn't see any need to buy paper specifically for wiping themselves when a catalog came for free.
At the catalog. We could do that with the U-Line catalogs now, if only you could flush it.
It's kind of funny.
Come on, get on that U-Line.
Yeah. Nigeria, India, and Pakistan all have more people who speak English than England. There are 128 million English speakers in India, 125 million in Nigeria, and 108 in Pakistan.
Wow.
There are 63 million in the UK. America has more than all of them, with about 316 mil.
And all we can speak is English.
Yeah, USA. that's true. That's it. Yeah, you got us on that one. 90% of Americans live within 15 minutes of a Walmart. That's insane. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It says a lot. A lot of different things.
90%.
I don't think it says, I'm not all negative on that. I think that there is a little negative to it.
Well, the negative is the putting, you know, the small businesses out of
yes,
business.
Yeah.
And that's the travesty there.
Yeah. And that's the biggest one that I can think of, too. And finally, people around the world drink more goat milk than cow milk.
Wow.
I would not have guessed that.
Would not have either, but that's because cow milk, dairy milk, you know, cow is so big here in America. But in other parts of the world, a goat is cheaper to keep.
Yeah. And I use this opportunity, as I will every chance I get, to say that I've actually milked goats.
Really?
Yes, I have done this.
I'm impressed.
I have never milked a cow. I've never milked anything else in my life, but I have milked a goat.
Well,
two goats.
You can tell very much easier when a cow steps on your foot than a goat.
Yes, very much, very much. Take a quick commercial break. Get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and got some more fun for you on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. We hope you're having a good one. Thanks for joining us. Oh, I can get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Welcome back, everybody. Melissa and James here with you. A while ago, we did a That Ain't Right story about a couple of fishermen that cheated to win a contest.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if people remember it or not, to catch everybody up. These fishermen were putting weights into the fish and different things. One of them put like a fillet of fish inside the fish to try to make it weigh more and everything.
Wow.
It was just horrible. They were shredded on and sports media and everywhere else and all that.
This was in Ohio, right?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, we have a follow-up to that story finally.
Okay.
Where we go to Cleveland, where the two men who admitted stuffing fish with lead weights and fish fillets in an attempt to win thousands of dollars in an Ohio fishing tournament last fall were sentenced Thursday to 10-day jail terms and other penalties, including their forfeiture of a boat valued at over $100,000.
Wow.
The cheating allegations surfaced in September when Jason Fisher, oh boy, that's an unfortunate last name, from Lake Erie Walleye Trail tournament director, became suspicious of the fish turned in by Jacob Runyon, 43, of Astabo, Ohio, and Chase Kaminsky, 36, of Pennsylvania. They were significantly heavier than the typical walleye. Hmm. A crowd of people at the Gordon Park in Cleveland watched as Fisher cut the freshwater fish open and found weights and walleye fillets it stuffed inside.
It's a cannibal. I don't know. That's weird.
What, man, I didn't. That's just weird. Look at what that fish ate. What? How did that happen?
Oh man.
At what point are you putting? Is it when you're actually cooking the fillet of fish, or when you're putting it into the fish that you have to realize what has my life become? What has happened to me? Mm. At what point you would think that like you'd be stopping like, okay, wait a minute, what am I doing? What am I doing? I got to look in the mirror.
But like, the prize was $100,000 boat.
Yeah, yeah. These fishing tournaments are no joke. Like, they do not mess around with these prizes in most of these things.
They don't, but that seems like then the obvious... the possibility of people trying to take advantage of that.
Oh, yeah. Which is why it seems even sillier to cheat, because they're looking for this stuff.
Right.
There's only so many ways to cheat in a fishing tournament. One, there's been people where they plant a fish and like, mm-hmm. oh, look what I caught. You know, that kind of thing. That one's a little harder to prove. It is the easiest thing in the world to prove that a fish is weighed down.
Right. that there are things inside of it that did not grow there.
Yeah, fish are pretty thin. Even a chubby fish is still, you know, they don't leave a lot of like, wait a minute, what's this poking out here? What's this like, you know? As part of the plea deal, Runyon and Kaminsky pleaded guilty in March to cheating and unlawful ownership of wild animals and agreed to a 3-year suspension of their fishing licenses. Kaminsky also agreed to give up his bass boat worth over $100,000. Once the pair complete their county jail terms, they will serve a year and a half on probation and must each pay $2,500 fines on top of the other court costs that they have. Through all of this to cheat in a fishing tournament.
Yeah. So, no, that doesn't sound like the prize was the boat then. That just sounds like it was his boat.
It was his boat that he had won in a tournament, so he was giving it up because he had won it unlawfully.
Okay.
But you're right, Melissa. They would have received a little over $28,000 in prizes for winning the tournament.
$28,000. That was worth now all of this?
Yeah.
Because even 10 days in jail, that's still 10 days in
jail.
That
ain't no joke. Yeah, that is no
joke.
And
that's on your record.
Yeah, yeah. And it's on their record every time if they ever want to do a fishing tournament again. I would imagine, too, I got to think they love fishing. Having their licenses suspended for a year or 2 years is also going to do it.
Yeah.
Like, all of that just to cheat. Like, this is why, I mean.
For $28,000.
Cheaters always get caught, whether we're talking about it in a relationship, we're talking about a fishing contest. I don't care what you're talking about. It don't pay. It just doesn't pay. Don't do it. Doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
That ain't right. I will say, though, one of the things, because I come from the other side of the tracks and everything, the way my mind works, I think about these gentlemen in jail.
Of course.
And boy, having to tell, like, what are you in for? I did this horrible thing. What did you do?
Lead weights.
Cheated on a fishing contest. Oh, we're going to have fun with you. New fish.
Well, and I think about the judge, too, sitting on that trial.
Just got to be shaking their head.
I mean, in some ways, it's like, I don't know.
Come on, people. Like, really, yeah. Really.
This is what matters in life?
Yeah. This is where we're at. Where we're going to be doing this stuff.
Because they obviously didn't do it out of need.
Right.
You know, this wasn't a crime of necessity.
I think that's a good point, actually. Yeah, I hadn't even really thought of it that way, but you're so right about that. And not that there's ever an okay time to commit crimes.
No.
But I 100% see what you're saying there. You know, there are times
where... There's no validation for it, even in their own mind.
Yes, they broke the law, but you can see... You may not be able to identify or relate to, but you can see the angle that they're coming from.
The factors that led to... I mean, what was this? They wanted the number one spot?
I don't know. Does that count as a pun, the angle, when we're talking about anglers? This should be my last day on radio. they should fire me right now after that joke. We'll take a commercial break. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. You know, get the feeling sometimes. Just might as well jump. Just jump. Jump for the heck of it. Jump because you feel it.
Just up and down, though. Not it, off of something.
It's not the jumping that's hard. It's the landing.
Yes. And the older we get, the harder we land.
What you said went so perfectly with the first line of that song, I couldn't help it. I had to get that in. We are going to wrap up with nothing but good stories of the day.
All right.
I just am in one of those moods, and I think the audience could use it too. So that is where we're going to go. We got some local good stories we're going to touch on in a second. But first, I want to start with a local good story that I believe everybody can pull from.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes to us from UPI. A shout out to them and the great reporting. A 50-year-old mother and a 25-year-old daughter will graduate together on Friday with straight A's from a graduate program at a Texas university. The fifth time they've completed college programs together.
Oh, wow. The fifth time?
Quote, quote, she's my best friend, 25-year-old Elizabeth Mayer said. All our classmates call her mom.
Aww.
Elizabeth and her mother, Elisa, put on their cap and gown for the third time Friday after completing a Master of Social Work program at Our Lady of the Lake University in San Antonio, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The duo has earned a total of 5 degrees together.
Wow.
They both completed the program with a 4.0 grade point average.
Nice.
They each hold 3 associate's degrees in general studies and social sciences. And these are all from the Central Texas College, and a bachelor's degree from Mary Hardin Baylor, a private Christian university in Central Texas.
Hmm.
The Mayer women are planning a bit of a gap year before returning to Our Lady of Lake for a PhD program.
Why?
The affiliate out of San Antonio says that they're rebonding after previously losing their home because of Hurricane Harvey and living out of a hotel for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
That's where all this started.
Hmm.
And again, like, that's a story that maybe not is relatable to everybody out there. But what is relatable to every one of us is what you do with tragedy.
Hmm.
What do you turn tragedy into? We are going to start off Morning Magazine for the week with Danita Carlson. We're going to talk about the Alex C. Dove Foundation.
Oh, yes.
And we got to talk to the gang from the Alex C. Dove Foundation when they were first getting this going and trying to raise funds and awareness about this and everything. They're celebrating their fourth annual one now.
For the Dove's Nest.
Yeah. What we do with tragedy is such a huge part of the human experience and the human mind. And this is why I maintain and I continue to say there is nothing stronger in the universe than the human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. What we could it would be understandable to let tragedy break us.
Right.
Nobody's going to begrudge somebody that does that. But instead, we have time and time and time again examples of where we could fold, we stand.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It never gets old to me.
And together. I mean, those two ladies.
It's cool.
The ultimate study buddy. You know?
Yeah. That is true.
Your mom. That's really cool.
Boy, having your mom as a study partner, too. Snacks are covered. Snacks are covered. You ain't got to worry about that. This is a smarter idea than I realized.
Kind of liking this.
Yeah. Some more quick good stories of the day as we get to our local ones now. And I wanted to start things off with a couple of local high school concerts. Our good friends over at my old alma mater, Lincoln High School, have their spring concert going on tonight at 7 o'clock. It'll be the Orchestra Pops at the Performing Arts Center.
Nice.
So again, tonight, the Orchestra Pops at the Performing Arts Center at 7 o'clock here in Wisconsin Rapids. And our good friend Jackie Carantini, HD and R educator with Wood County Extension, has her class, Where Is My Money Going? Tips for Tracking Your Spending. That is from 3 to 4 today at the Focus Building over at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm. That'll be a handy class. And then we also have Community Blood Drive happening today at the former East Junior High School Music Room from 10 to 3. So they'll be kicking off in about 5 minutes here. You can probably still get an appointment, but walk-ins are also welcome. And then they will have another one on Monday the 22nd in the afternoon from 2 to 7. And over in Stevens Point, they have one on the 20th from 8:30 to 2:45 at the Stevens Point Blood Donation Center on Main Street. So if you can, please donate blood. You can save up to 3 lives with your donation. Takes about an hour, usually less than that. But if you can, get out and donate.
With the rise of superhero movies, every superhero has been taken. There are no new names. There's no catchphrases. Every tragic backstory has been done, and they've run out of tights and capes. It's much easier to donate blood. You can be a superhero doing that.
Mm-hmm.
A police officer in South Carolina pulled a guy over on Sunday for drifting into another lane, but he wasn't drunk. It was an older guy who had just come from a dance hall, but he wanted to keep dancing. Once they worked out the ticket stuff, he offered to give her a dance lesson on the side of the road, and she accepted.
I saw the video of this.
It's so good. It's so good. If you get a chance to watch that chest cam video, it's so good. A guy in Minnesota says his Apple Watch saved his life. He was outside his house when someone driving by hit him with their car and took off.
Oh, no.
His Apple Watch immediately sensed the impact and called 911 and also texted his wife.
Wow.
He ended up with a broken tailbone and some cracked ribs, but he's okay. The driver was a 17-year-old kid who turned himself in later on.
Well, good for him for turning himself in. Mm. But yeah, never leave the scene of an accident.
No, we know that quite a bit.
And there's a rise of those 911 calls happening on accident. That's another tip, too, that they're saying, stay on the line. Just reassure, you know, let them know that you're okay, because then they don't have to spend that extra time checking, because they have to.
Yeah.
They have to call you back.
We appreciate those that do take that moment to call 911, but please stay on the line. Mm-hmm. It is very important.
Yeah.
The Humane Society saved a stray kitten in South Carolina that got its head stuck in a soup can.
Oh, no.
The photos they posted are pretty cute. It was a can of Campbell's Chunky, so they named it Campbell.
Well, it's better than Chunky.
Yeah, it's better. It's better. That's a good, well played. Mm-hmm. Again, I use that as a reminder to everybody that on Thursday in the 9 o'clock hour, we will have our Pet of the Week from the South Oak County Humane Society.
All right.
Shout out to the Humane Society and From the Ground Up Coffee Shop.
Mm-hmm.
A Facebook group called Random Acts of Crochet Kindness has over 240,000 members.
Wow.
And they're in the news because all they do is knit or crochet funny items, then leave them out in the public for random people to find.
Nice.
Here's an example. Someone recently crocheted a little potato character with eyes and a mouth and put him in a bag with a note that said, "You found a positive potato." They added a second note that said, "I may be a tiny potato, but I believe in you. You've got this."
Aww.
And it's just a little random crocheted
little
knit thing right there.
It's so cute.
I would be so happy to find that.
It's got a little green sprout on the top of his head.
Does this remind anybody else about the rock thing that we had
here?
Oh,
yeah, with painted rocks and you find them around town. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that this stuff is kind of cool, you know?
And people do different things like that, too. There was an artist in Toma that was doing this and leaving, like, little tiny painted canvases in random places for people to find. But people found them and thought, oh, that's pretty, and they left it. They were picking them up and taking them.
I like that. I don't know. I think we could use more of this in society.
Just little moments of kindness for somebody else. It's thoughtful. And it's another thing that you can do to help build community.
A 65-year-old woman in California founded a nonprofit in 1997 called Roots of Peace. They go to war-torn countries and remove landmines, then replace them with grapevines, fruit trees, and vegetable gardens.
Wow.
They're heading to the Ukraine next, and she just got a big award last week called the World Food Prize.
Hmm. Good for her.
That is really cool.
That is an awesome organization.
That is a really interesting idea, too. I've studied a lot about this as far as the landmines, how many landmines we have out there. We have countless, literally countless amount of landmines out there. Some of them, you know, aren't active, but the majority of them are. And they're all in third world countries where they have no idea, like, where these things are or anything like that. It is pretty cool to see random people going out of their way to do something about that.
Yeah.
That is really impressive.
Well, because the people who live there can't.
Yeah.
What can they do?
Great show today. Thank you, Melissa, for a wonderful time.
Yes. Good to see you, as always.
Thank you to the best listeners in radio. Appreciate you all hanging out with us today. The calls we got, all that. It was a lot of fun. Be back tomorrow with more. You know what? I like the way Chuck says this. We're going to let him do it. Stick around for Morning Magazine, everybody. Coming up right here on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.